It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. This week, the guys are talking about, are your memories even real? Let's listen in on the conversation.
Welcome to episode 9 of the Unnamed Podcast.
Episode 9. Have you seen any Germans?
I know what song you're going to sing today.
Nine Germans. Memories. So we're going to talk about memories. I wanted to talk about aliens.
Hang on a second.
I wanted to talk about aliens, but you won't let me talk about aliens.
I think people are going to get to
I want to talk about...
I think they got to get to
aliens.
A little bit before you go delving into that rabbit hole. Don't make it sound like I'm controlling you. Like, you have a choice in this matter too.
Yeah, as long as it's your choice.
As long as it's mine. Mitch.
Yes.
You didn't sing the song. Are you going to sing Memories?
Memories. That's it.
That's it. You don't know any more words, do you? I used to play that on the piano.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you play the piano? Enya used to teach me piano.
I knew that was going to come up as soon as I mentioned piano.
Enya used to teach me piano.
You tell me like
once a week. A bit of one-upsmanship.
You tell me once a week. You name drop her at least once a week that you got taught how to play piano by Enya.
And you know what?
I
can't play piano for shit.
I can play piano.
Can you?
Yeah.
We've got one over here. We might get you to play it a bit later.
I can play it. I used to play the piano in church, the organ in church for many years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I have a piano at home. I love it. It used to be an old piano.
Oh, do you? You have a piano at home?
Yeah, you know that.
Oh,
Lexi,
yeah.
Remember Lexi climbed all over it last time she was there?
Oh, yeah.
I showed her how you could see on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. We're talking about memories. See? Memories. Right. You didn't even remember that shit.
No, because I have really bad memory.
No, you can't have bad memory. Do you want to talk about memories?
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about?
Well,
do you remember what you're going to talk about?
No, I can't remember anything. I was having a conversation with young Jared.
Jared.
Our neuroscientist.
A resident
neuroscientist. He's a really cool dude. And he's a neuroroscientist from the University of Melbourne.
No, I don't know
Is it Melbourne?
From.
The University of Melbourne, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
One of the universities in Melbourne.
Yeah,
he's a neuroscientist.
And he's a really intriguing dude because he really helped us to give foundation. Here I am, playing with my sword. He really helped us to give foundation to some of the work. And it's great to have a neuroscientist on the side. We were talking about memory, though, and we put a post out a couple of weeks ago, and it had some really interesting responses.
Which post was that?
It was a post about memory. Basically, we were saying that your memories are not real. And so,
what I mean is that a video that you did yourself?
No, I think it was a blog. And basically, what we were talking about was that there was a test done. And to give some context or an example, there was an experiment done basically where they were asking people to remember where they were when they first saw 9/11.
I think they did a study where straight after they had interviewed a whole heap of people and asked them what had happened and where they were when 9/11
What they saw, where they were, what had happened, what had occurred. And there's been lots and lots of other studies about this stuff done since then. But this was a great example. And they interviewed them then 2 weeks later. Then they interviewed them 2 months later. Then they interviewed them like 8 months later, so on and so forth, until they got to about, I think it was about 2 years.
I thought the study was that they interviewed them at the start and then they didn't go back there for many years. That's what I thought.
No. They interviewed them over a time period and they interviewed them they did it 2 weeks, then they did it 2 months, then they did it 4 months, 8 months, and they did it up to about 2 years. And then they were able to show that the memory after 2 years was completely different to the memory of what their first recollection of what they saw. And so
how I heard it was that the study when they did it, when they came back years later anyway, when they interviewed them, their story at that time was totally different to their original story. And they were so convinced that this last one was their real story that they said that they must have been made a reason why their story had been different to begin with.
To begin with, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
whatsoever.
Yeah.
But what they found, so then that posed the question of, because the amount of ramifications that has for all sorts of things, like, for example, for court cases, you know, for witnesses in court cases, you know, for crimes that are committed.
So just to make sure, so people wouldn't understand why that has ramifications. Yep. So explain that in the neuroscience thing.
Well, every time, basically what happens is that neurologically, every time we pull a memory, right, we alter the memory based on the environment of where the memory's being pulled.
Because it's got to be, you've got to pull it out, but then in order to store it again, it's kind of like got to be encoded.
That's right.
So when it gets encoded again, I can't remember the technical terms he used, but when the memory gets stored again, it gets encoded again.
Right.
And when it gets encoded again, it gets encoded with the flavor of whatever's happening for you at the time.
That's right. Yeah. Like, for example, who's interviewing you, where you are, and the response that you're getting from the person that's interviewing you. So you will heighten some things and lower some things. You will give some things more punch.
Yeah.
You'll take the punch away from reactions to certain things. So every time you pull the memory, you alter the coding and put it back again. And then you pull it again, you alter the coding and put it back again. So our environment is influencing the memory continuously to the point where the memory is no longer actually a memory, it's just an altered, encoded reflection dependent on the environment that you're in.
Yeah.
So and when you think about this, like if I think about that in terms of my life, you know, I think about going out on a date, you know, depending on the person and if I want to make them laugh, you know, I'll tell them a story depending on how they are to either make them laugh, but I can tell them the same story and recall the same memory to also make them cry. Does that make sense? I feel sad. So depending on the environment, we're altering the memory all the time until it's not actually a correct.
So what happens is that over time, so what this, the ramifications here then are that we have, let's say something happens to us, right?
Yep.
And let's say that something that happens to us is significant enough for us to recall that event. Mm-hmm. So some things that happen to us, like what we had for breakfast yesterday morning, it might not be significant for us to recall that event, so we don't recall it, right?
Right.
But for whenever we have to recall an event over and over and over and over again, every time we recall that event, we are decoding it and encoding it so that it can get stored again. And every time we do that, we alter that in some way. So that if we were to be asked about that event 2 years later, we're actually going to be telling a different story 2 years later because the memory, because we've recalled it and recycled it so many times, is going to have a totally different effect.
That's right.
Yeah. So what that means is, it means a lot of things. It has ramifications in many areas. It means that some of the stuff that perhaps happened to us when we were kids, right, positive or negative memories, right, that we've recalled over and over and over and over and over through time.
That's right.
That the truth is that they're not how we remembered them.
Yeah.
We've remembered them that way because neurologically we have had to we've recalled that information, but every time we store it, it changes. So the stuff that we think is like truth is actually not truth.
Right.
And then like you said, that also has ramification for like court cases and things like that because, you know, what's to say that people who are witnesses in a court case and who've seen something and then have recalled that in their mind over and over again are actually not telling something that's not true. Now, that doesn't mean that our
also that it's been tainted by the environment at the time.
Of course.
You know? So if you control the environment at the time, then you control the taint, then you control the memory, then you also can control the outcome that you want.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Then
I said to him, you know, so let's talk about memory. Where is memory stored? And it was, his answer was great. He said, look, you know, we've looked everywhere. We believe that perhaps it's stored in the mind, but we've looked everywhere. The problem is that we can't find the mind. So we've looked everywhere in the human body, and with what we have in terms of our equipment today, we are not able to find out where the memory is. And he said, in actual fact,
where it's stored,
it's where memories are stored, where the mind is, where memory is stored. He said, in actual fact, we seem to think that memory is actually, and mind is actually out here somewhere. It's actually out in the field. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So therefore, the field, if we're receiving information through the senses, or we're pulling either way, the field, whether receiving information or whether we're transmitting information, it's been altered by us. Does that make sense? So it's been pulled in from the field and been expressed out, or it's been expressed out and pulled into the field and pulled back into the field. So we are the filtering system for whatever is going on. So therefore it's then being altered based on how we are. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And that we are the filtering system positioning what's occurring in the world, which I thought, wow, that is just like mind-bendingly good.
I think that needs explanation though, because I think that people hearing that might not understand that.
Well,
I think a good way maybe to explain it is, you know, in What the Bleep, how she has, you know, the movie What the Bleep, she has the experience of her partner cheating on her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So because she's got this experience of her partner cheating on her, in her mind, she sees her world that happens.
That's what men do.
That's
men
what men
cheat,
do.
That's it.
That's right. So her memory, it influences what she sees. So therefore, she's at the wedding and she sees a guy with a girl and assumes it's the groom cheating on the wife, which is not.
No, right. That's right.
So that's kind of what we're saying. When we repeat the thought and the memory over and over again, then we color it with our feelings and emotions at the time.
Yeah.
And then therefore we see things the way that is the way our filtering system allows us to see them.
The other thing is that it also shows us that our memories are actually not real.
Getting
the toolbox and going into the machine.
With us and with the amount of work we've done and with what we've studied, and we love studying and getting our hands into this stuff and, you know, getting our minds into this stuff, we know that memories aren't real.
Yeah.
But that's just so big for somebody who hasn't heard some of that stuff. Yeah, but hang on a second, that actually happened.
Yeah.
But the truth about it is...
But there's also a part of us that knows, like there's also a part of us that knows that the memory's not real. There's a part of us, definitely, there's a part of us that knows that every time we pull that memory, we will taint that memory, we'll color it and taint it depending on who's listening.
That's true.
Like if you're telling your doctor something and you're telling your mum something, you flavor it the way
it
happened. Like I watch my little girl hit her bleeding head, and she tells mummy one thing, and 10 minutes later she's telling the doctor a completely different story, and it's, you know, it's more inflated to make the situation
worse. So then what you're saying then is, in like 5 weeks' time, if we were to ask Lex what happened with the doctor thing, because we talked about that in one of the other podcasts, then she would be telling a version of her story that is not real. So that's true though as well. She does know it's not
so
real.
So therefore it poses the question of, so why are we altering it then? What is actually going on?
Yeah.
Why are we doing that? Why do we take a memory and alter it depending on the environment? And I think one of the reasons we do that, as far as I can see, is to give us some sort of sense of belonging and identity and some sort of
connection. With people.
It allows us to fit in.
Yeah.
It allows us to fit into a scenario to make us, because we have a deep longing to want to feel connected to one another. We have a deep longing to want to fit in. We have a deep longing to want to, you know, to want to feel like we're a part of something.
Yeah, yeah. And I agree with that. But how would, again, like, you will get people online listening and going, yeah, but my memories, like, how would you talk to someone who you think is a little bit maybe in denial about the fact that their memories are just memories. They're not the real.
Well,
the
question is this. The question is this. You have to go. You that's such a fucking goalpost moving black hole that you can never get it right for that question or anybody else.
For that person asking.
You've got to ask the bigger question. And the bigger question is, let's have a look. What are you doing with what happened back there? That's the bigger question.
Yeah, I like
that. What are you actually doing with what you perceive to be this memory? So, when you pull this memory up, are you using it to feel depressed or angry or pissed off or ripped off? Or are you doing it to actually construct your reality and use it as an inspiring tool to actually build the life that you want? Because it at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what happened, only what you make it matter.
So basically, you can take that memory and keep reliving it, rehashing it,
yep.
reorganizing it and focusing on the memory. Yeah,
and allowing it to influence your relationships, your career, your job, whether you travel the world, whether you've created a life that you want to fucking vacate from, or whether you've created a life that is a vacation. You can use that memory
whatever way you want.
Whatever way you want. Or, so that's the bigger question.
So yeah, what are you doing with that?
Yeah.
I like that.
And you know, at the end of the day,
because that regardless of whether you believe that memories are real or not, the question the question of what are you doing with it is relevant for everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, again, getting back to Jared, he was talking about, you know, when you pull up a memory, you may pull up a memory and look at that. Like, it's a bit like studying an anthill.
Yeah.
He gave a great analogy of an anthill. Say, we may find an ant, Mitch, and we know everything about the anatomy of that ant. We know everything about its movement, about what it does. We can find out everything there is to know about. We can pull that limb from limb and find out everything that there is to know about that ant. But it doesn't tell us anything about the anthill, which I thought, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
He said it's a bit like a footy player. You can take a photograph of a footy player catching a ball, and you can study everything there is to know about that photograph, but it doesn't tell you anything about the fucking game.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what, when we look at memories, they don't tell us anything about the reality of what's going on.
Very good.
Yeah. Other than what you keep pulling up and pushing down, depending on your environment. The bigger question is, listen, what the fuck are you doing with all this stuff? Tell me, is this stuff and what is going on here and these memories and whatever you've done with them, are they the greatest expression of your creative capacity as a fucking human being?
Yeah.
You know, are they of service to you? Are they of service to others? That's, I think, the bigger question.
Yeah.
You know, and what if your memories are fucking nonsense? What if they're not actually real?
Yeah.
And what if you're just using this based, you know, because it's pulling up certain emotions, because you're addicted to those emotions, and you're creating your reality to quench the addiction to the emotions that are created from the memory? You know, well, then is the reality you're creating the greatest example? Therefore, if it's not the greatest example, you got to do
about
what are you going to do about it? You got to do something about this memory. You know, this memory may not actually be real, because neuroscience tells us that now.
So it's just more about for people listening, I suppose. It's about checking in with the possibility that it might not be real. And either way, what are you going to do about it?
But also, if you don't want to check in,
don't worry about it. It's cool too.
Just take this whole fucking podcast and stick it in. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. If you're okay with it and you feel okay with that memory, and well, then that's okay as well, you know? But if you're not okay with it and it's occupying your mind and you want to do something about it, well, it's probably fucking wise to do something about it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? If you see that the memory and what you're pulling up and putting back in is determining how you are as a parent, is altering your ability to relate to people, if it's stopping you from feeling love.
Relationship, you know, memory from a past relationship affecting this relationship,
Well, then it's common sense to do something about it, isn't it?
What was your most intense memory, do you reckon?
My most what?
Intense, like memory.
My most
What did you carry around with you, that memory that you carried around with you?
I think my most intense, God, I've got loads of them. I mean, I've got loads and loads of different ones.
Stood out from that you used to like recall a lot?
Oh, it would have to be my school teacher telling me I was stupid and I'd never be able to read. And if I'm really straight about it, you know, I've pulled that memory so many times.
It's the story.
She was probably actually a fucking male. You know, she was probably actually the only African American in Ireland. You know, so it's totally so. Oh my God!
It probably is.
You know, but the point now is that I use that story to actually inspire people.
To illustrate that point.
To illustrate and meet people where they're at. Yeah, look, I get it. We all have that fucking story of some asshole, perceived asshole school teacher, or, you know, something that your mom did or something that your dad did or something that somebody did. We all have that stuff in our lives. But if you're letting that define you, I mean...
Well, it's not even, it's just that you're better than that. You know, you don't need to have that, running your life, running your story.
Yeah. What's yours?
I actually don't know.
I said exactly the same thing when you asked me, but
no,
I
know, but a memory that comes up, I think a memory that keeps coming up is at school time, like when I was at school and that I used to have to, that I felt like I wasn't enough just as I was. So I used to, there was one particular day that I remember that the kids were all talking about something and asking my opinion, and I pretended They were talking about, it was like a TV show. What was your favourite TV show?
Right.
And mine at the time was MacGyver. Oh, my God, I loved MacGyver.
Did you?
I couldn't
watch it. It was just...
Loved it. It was me and my grandfather. We used to just sit and watch it.
I mean, like, I think one day...
One
day he made a tank out of a fucking pin or something.
This MacGyver, man. Seriously. I don't know if it was MacGyver or the A-Team at the time, but it was one of those, right? And I was so embarrassed because I felt like I couldn't say that because I would, like, we hadn't discussed this before, is that, and I went first, and so I made up some bullshit story and then everybody else had the same answer that I would have had, and I couldn't change my answer
right.
And that memory, I don't know why, but it keeps playing in, like, I often go back to how I acted at the time, so I probably acted totally differently.
Did you act like MacGyver? Did you do
none of that. The point is that we've all got those memories that keep coming up at different times, and we kind of use them as scapegoats. I mean, you've used your Mrs. Clark story as such
it's
a scapegoat.
Story, it's a good story.
Yeah.
Poor Mrs. Clark.
Poor Mrs. Clark.
Fuck, she's copped a hiding over the years. I mean, my God.
I know.
Anyway, she was pure concentrated evil.
Anyway, here's to new memories.
Boom!